I'm not a Monday guy.
I'm not crazy about it either. I also don't like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays.
Are you ready to go?
I'm warning you, I'm seriously stressed out here.
You always drink like this so early in the morning?
Isn't it a bit early in the day for the bottle? Even for you?
Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
Make the radio call.
It's time to get up.
It's time to hear that pop.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
We are go for launch.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Monday morning. A beautiful, naturally, it's Monday, so it's going to be a perfect day.
Right.
Sunshine and 80 degrees today. And everybody have a good weekend.
Yeah. It was a great weekend.
It was a weekend of the good, the bad, and the ugly. That royal wedding, that was pretty good.
Oh, it was really beautiful. I got sucked in. I watched it like 2.5 times.
Really?
Yeah. It was really great. A lot of people were really into it. A lot of dads picking up daughters, like when I was at my friend's house and there were sleepovers and the dads were picking up, and a lot of dads were into it. Like, yeah, I woke up and I watched it. I liked it a lot. It was really great.
Well, after that Celtics beating, they needed a pick-me-up.
See, that was the ugly over the weekend. Really.
Yeah, that was not good. I watched a little bit of that, if you can believe it. It was kind of, they were getting spanked. I had to leave the room.
Yeah, spanked badly. Took a thrashing. But, you know, the royal wedding was really fantastic. They sure have the trumpets over there, don't they?
They sure do. That. I mean, just it was a per. Well, I was stunned at it. It was things that you can't control with how perfect of a day it was in London.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
It wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Okay,
nice.
And then speaking of clouds, the Preakness, that was interesting. You couldn't really see the horse race. And the fog?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the fog
goodness.
Was incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to know how they kept calling the race.
Okay, I got that figured out.
Really?
The guy does the calling of the race, like the play-by-play guy. He's really one of the best in the world. He did it off the monitors because he couldn't see the other side of the track. And so they have these, you know, they have the cameras all the way around the track. And the only way he could do it was to do it off the monitors. But you would have never known. He did a great job on it. And speaking of that, we'll talk to Mikey the Plumber at 6:40 this morning and see how everybody did on their betting that he told us how to do on Friday. Okay? So we got all of this coming up this morning. Plus, we got win a grand in 60 seconds in 10 minutes right here at WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It is time now for the drama, the excitement, the thrill of win a grand in 60 seconds. And our player on the line every day is Corey Jones. Corey is a medical device engineer. He's from Acton, Massachusetts.
Oh,
good morning.
Nice.
And how are you doing this morning, Corey? Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
Great, thank you.
He sounds with it.
Okay, yeah. So how's the medical device engineering game going?
It's going good. Just started the job about a month ago.
Oh, you know, if you mess up, guess what happens? Not on this quiz of your medical devices. Like, that's a big job.
That's
so he's
very
used to pressure.
Okay.
Okay, so
like,
obviously he's a guy who can handle pressure.
Okay, good.
So, and the pressure's about to mount. Are you prepared? You realize what's going to happen here?
I do. I've been listening this week. Yes.
Okay. LBF is going to take 60 seconds and ask you 10 questions. You'll hear the ticker in the background. If you can answer all 10 of these questions correctly in 60 seconds, we give you $1,000 in cash. At any time during the game, if you don't know the answer, feel free to say pass, move on. You have time left over at the end. We come back, we pick them up. Are you ready to play?
Okay. I'm ready. Let's go. Right.
Okay, here we go.
3, 2, 1, go.
In Hickory Dickory Dock, the mouse ran up what?
The clock.
Who is allegedly walking Meghan Markle down the aisle?
Philip.
Who played Neo in The Matrix?
Keanu Reeves.
Which chess piece can only move diagonally?
Bishop.
When did the Cold War end? 1988, 89, or 90?
89.
Name the director of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Peter Jackson.
What color is absent?
It's clear.
What was tested at Bikini Atoll in the 40s and 50s?
Nuclear weapons.
The 1980 Winter Olympics were held at which lake?
Lake Tahoe.
What kind of food are black-eyed peas?
Beans.
Okay, you have time, but you got a couple wrong.
Unfortunately.
You got through all the questions.
You did. You know what? I'm really proud of you. You got through all the questions, like, with good 10 seconds to spare.
No passes or anything.
No passes. You are confident.
Actually, you did well. Okay, now, let's review and pick up the ones that were wrong and the ones that were passed.
You only got three wrong, which is a 70%.
Hey, let's... You You got seven right.
Okay, sorry.
Seven right. That's right.
Glass half full.
You're talking to a scientist here. Give a guy a break. Okay.
Prince Charles is walking Meghan down the aisle. Prince Philip, but I see what happened there.
Often confused with Philip.
I would have given you a half a point if this was like a test in school. What color is absinthe? It's green. It's the green fairy.
It's kind of like kryptonite, you know?
It's also very good. You should have yourself a glass. And then the 1980 Winter Olympics were held at Lake Placid.
But you did.
It's also a very good movie.
Really. And we have a consolation prize for you. One free oil change, VIP tires and auto service, $59.99 value. You can redeem that at any location in Massachusetts or New Hampshire.
Okay.
And if you'd like some more information, just go online to VIPauto.com. Plus, we're going to send you out to the movies. A pair of passes to see Melissa McCarthy and The Life of the Party. It's in theaters right now. So you have yourself a great day today. And thanks a million for playing the game with us, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You did a great job. Good luck with the new job. Don't mess up. Medical devices are important.
That's right. People will die. Now, okay, everybody else, remember, you can play the game, too. You got to sign up, though. Go to WRR.com and sign up to play, and you could be playing Win a Grand in 60 seconds coming up next.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Here we go with your 620 men from Maine.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Lamb walks into $3 Dewey's and is startled to see Ephus reading the newspaper.
Hey, what are you doing, Ephus?
Oh, I'm just reading about this same-sex marriage thing.
Oh?
I don't see what the big deal is.
You don't?
Nope. I've been married for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And as long as I can remember, the sex has always been the same.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. Lorne and Wally.
Okay, well, big talk about the royal wedding. Did you watch the royal wedding?
Who didn't?
Did you have a similar wedding? I'm sure you did.
Listen, honest to God, I did go back and watch my wedding video.
Did you really?
Because I was like, you know what, Megan, you look good, but I was equally as happy. So it was great.
Well, the question is, did you have anybody really irritating at your wedding?
You know what? No, I actually didn't. But I know that we have coming up the most irritating person at Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's wedding, both real and not so real.
Who do you think it was? We'll find out.
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
For those of you who watch the royal wedding, I guess the answer to this question depends on where you watched the royal wedding.
Yeah, you know, if you watched it on the BBC, you got,
yes,
you know,
we like BBC America coverage.
Yeah, because they know what they're doing.
They have
and
a fine accent.
Yes, everything.
Yes,
they,
indeed.
They
yes.
let it like sit where it needs to sit and just be quiet when it needs to be quiet. Well, not so with Gayle King on CBS. I mean, she's funny and all, but she was something else. And apparently, everyone was talking about how they were embarrassed for her co-host, Kevin Fraser, because he was just, you know, really kind of annoyed by the whole thing. And this is what, there was a montage by John Oliver and put it all together. And this is how she sounded.
Hello, I'm Gayle King of CBS This Morning. I just have one big goosebump all over my body. I'm going to change hats every hour on the hour. I just saw James Blunt go and he does that song, "You're Beautiful." That's all I'm going to sing of that. I feel like crying. Oh my gosh, this is actually very good and very moist. You're beautiful.
Oh yes.
Do you know that?
Yes, of course I do.
I won't sing anymore. You're beautiful. I love that song. Pippa got a lot of attention because everyone was raving about her bottom and I thought, is that a big bottom? I don't think so. But she got a lot of attention from her bottom that people thought was perfection. Guess that's a matter of opinion. I've seen some big bottoms. I didn't think that was one, but okay.
Okay.
Wow.
I watched it, and we were laughing at Gayle King because she was just a little bit insane. And speaking of insane, Tina Fey played that creepy aunt that comes to your royal wedding and on Saturday Night Live on Saturday night.
Let me guess. You're from the groom's side.
Right. Yes. I'm the Duchess of Devonshire upon Cump. Your father's uncle once removed married my mum, who is his cousin. So I am both your aunt and your niece.
Lovely.
Last I saw you, you were a wee boy. It was after a polo match in Kump.
All right, stop saying Kump.
And I was kicked in the face by a horse.
Oh, you're anti-creepy. Oh, my God. Dad used to say if we were bad, we'd have to come live with you.
Oh, right.
Right, he was, because I'm a monster and a bit of a pedophile.
Okay. Oh, wow. You weren't here. Thank you for coming. Here's your hat. That's concerning.
That's very funny. It's, I loved it because Brian said that he couldn't watch he couldn't watch ABC because he couldn't stand to hear Printheth.
Yeah, Michael Strahan's
Michael Strahan.
We don't like him since he dumped Kelly.
That's right. We've always been Team Kelly.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, look, who watched the Preakness over the weekend? It was, it was very, very difficult to watch because of the fog, and we're going to find out how your betting went if you bet according to what Mikey the Plumber said. Coming up at 6:40 this morning, we will have our Preakness follow-up report from Mikey the Plumber.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Now, as you may recall, we were talking Friday morning right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio program because there's a big horse race. The Preakness was held this weekend, so we spoke with Mikey the Plumber about who was going to win the big race.
They're off in the Preakness. Justify appeared to come out cleanly with Good Magic Quip on the inside with early speed two. As the field comes into the final furlong, it is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Tenfold was third, Good Magic was fourth, and a final time of 1:55.45. Not even the fog could stop him.
And speaking of that, you could barely see the race because it was so incredibly foggy out there. So we got Mikey the Plumber on the line. Hey, Mikey, have you ever seen a foggy race like that before?
Yeah, I've seen some, but not a big race like that. But first things first, guys, I know my granddaughter Emma is listening, so we got to say hello to Emma.
Good morning, Emma.
Okay. So, that was a great race, and he ran a great race. He ran unbelievable. It's just, you know, everybody says they're coming after him, but I think he still wins the race. But he only won by like a half a length opposed to the four lengths he won by the Derby the other day.
Right, yeah. You know?
Can he win the Triple Crown, Mikey?
He can win the Triple Crown. Now he's going to have 3 weeks off, and he's going to relax. There's going to be a lot of hot come after him because this is all, look, everybody got within a half length of him. You know, anything can happen. You know what I mean? He's still a great horse. He's 5-for-5. Nobody's beating him yet, so we got to see what goes on from there, you know?
Okay, so now, how many weeks is it till the, is it 3 weeks?
3 weeks from Saturday that just passed.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And you feel totally confident about 3 weeks from coming up?
I do. I mean, he's just, you know, I just think he's an incredible horse. You know what I mean? You know, he proved it there. They were all coming at him, and he's still sending them off at the wire.
Okay, it's the won the race. It's the coming up, it's the longest race of the Triple Crown, right?
Exactly. Okay. A mile and a half, which is the toughest.
Okay.
That's why they give him 3 weeks, I believe. You know, that's the main reason, because it's the biggest race. And then they run 3 races in a row in a 7 week span. You know what I mean? So.
What does a horse do to relax?
And just lays around and eats some grass and hay and
hits the hay.
Out. Yeah, the hay.
All right, cool. I got good to know.
Okay.
So if Netflix and chill was involved, but whatever.
Oh, that comes afterwards.
Yeah, that's
listen,
afterwards.
We will talk to you. We will talk to you before the Belmont Stakes and see if anything's changed, and we'll see how we do. Okay.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
All right, you big pony.
Okay. In the meantime, speaking of horse races. Got one going in the American League East.
Oh, yes. Red Sox, shout out the Orioles, 5-0 yesterday in Fenway. And then once again, it was the thoroughbred we call J.D. Martinez showing the power.
That one tag high down the right field line, heading toward the pesky pole, toward the corner. That ball's gone. A home run. J.D. Martinez snuck it in there for his 14th. High fly ball right center field, driven deep. Jones is back, turning around. Oh, he's done it again. J.D. Martinez to one of the deepest parts of Fenway. And he is now tied for the Major League lead in home runs. His second of the afternoon.
He's unbelievable. He's got 15 home runs.
You know, I know what his drink of choice is on vacation.
What is it?
Rum and Coke.
Really?
I know. Kicking it like, I don't know, 17-year-old wedding style.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Andrew Benintendi also homered. Eduardo Rodriguez got the win. Sox are off today. They're in Tampa tomorrow night. Meanwhile, big basketball game tonight in Cleveland. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celts and the Cavs. Celts lead the series 2-1 after they had their brains beat in. 116-86 on Saturday. Tip-off tonight is at 8:30. Last night in the Western Conference Final was almost the same style of game. Golden State took a 2-1 lead with an easy 126-85 win over Houston.
41 points.
Wow. What is up with those big blowouts? Patriots begin their second phase of organized team activities today with sessions tomorrow and Thursday. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski not expected to take part. The Vegas Golden Knights going to the Stanley Cup Finals. They beat Winnipeg 2-1. In Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, they're the first expansion team since the St. Louis Blues in 1968 to go in their inaugural season. Wow. Tonight, Tampa Bay can wrap up the Eastern Conference Finals against the Capitals. They lead that series 3-2. Kevin Harvick took home the $1 million prize, winning NASCAR's All-Star Race at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Saturday night. And congratulations to longtime Metro West Daily News legend Lenny Megliola, inducted into the Natick High Athletic Hall of Fame.
Okay, the big Brian Bellbuster is coming up next.
That's right. It's brought to you by Eagle Bank, and it's Vivian's birthday, and she's actually doing something nice, throwing a big party for everybody else. And I called her as the party company, setting things up with a little problem.
You wanted the 25 assorted inflatables for the pool area?
Yeah.
Our regular supplier was not available, so we couldn't get the regular ones. We did pick up a selection of inflatables from Adam and Eve. They're they're inflatable, you know, dolls. Oh. They look a little surprised. We might want to put some bathing suits on them.
You have dirty, blow-up dolls in my pool.
Which word do you hear?
Lauren. Lauren. Wally. Wally.
105.7 WROR.
Hello.
The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
All right, it's Vivian's birthday, and Vivian's so nice. She's throwing a big party for the neighborhood and all her friends.
Yeah,
nice. That's pretty nice, right?
Sweet.
Yeah, well, her husband Adam wanted to mess with her for her birthday instead. So I called as the party company to let her know how setup was going for the big party.
Hello?
Yeah, trying to reach Vivian.
This is her.
Hi, Vivian. Larry Wilson from Funeral Party Supply and Events here.
Who?
Larry Wilson, Funeral Party Supply and Events.
Okay, yeah, I was talking to somebody different there, but yeah, hi, Larry.
Yeah, we're just out, we're setting up the house, getting ready for this party. It's like a big party you're planning here.
Oh, great, okay.
Yeah, we got tables are set up, looking good. We got the Hawaiian Lays, we got the coconut drinking cups, some palm tree stuff, you know, tropical decor. That's all getting set up.
Oh, perfect, okay.
Yeah, we did a couple of problems. We did the volleyball court. We did bring in some sand and set up the beach volleyball that you wanted.
Great, okay, cool.
Yeah, well, it was fresh off the beach, and there was a little bit of seaweed in it. And before we could really rake it out, I don't know if it was the seaweed, the smell. There was a little bit of a smell to it.
No, you really brought in sand from the beach?
You wanted beach volleyball, right?
Yeah, but usually companies just buy sand in bags and put it in your yard. You don't go get it from the beach.
No, no, this is
first
authentic.
It's legal, but it's going to be gross. What do you, you put real sand from the beach in my yard?
Yeah, for the beach volleyball. And the one of the problems, too, is it seems to have attracted some piping plovers, and they are setting up nests. So now we can't even remove it because all the plovers are nesting in the sand.
No.
They're protected.
No, wait, hold on. No, you're not supposed to bring in real sand from the beach. Like, it doesn't even sound legal.
Okay, so yeah. So I guess no beach volleyball. And also, we picked up those pool floats that you wanted. You wanted the 25 assorted inflatables for the pool area?
Yeah.
Yeah, our regular supplier was not available, so we couldn't get kind of the regular ones. We did pick up a selection of inflatables from Adam and Eve. They're they're inflatable, you know, dolls.
Oh.
They look a little surprised. We might want to put some bathing
dirty,
suits on them.
You have dirty, blow-up dolls in my pool.
Yeah, we might want to put some bathing suits on them.
No. Get those out of there now. I do not want the neighbors seeing those floating around in my yard and stinky sand.
Okay,
who are you?
I wasn't sure. Larry Wilson.
Talking to you.
I wasn't sure what kind of party it was there.
I was not talking to you when I ordered all of this. This is not what I ordered, and you know it's not. So get it out of there, and I'm not going to pay for this. And I'm going to actually have to have you do extermination in my yard.
Well, I was just, you know, I'm going off the order sheet here, so we were trying to make it, an in-kind.
Dirty, sex doll to be in my pool. I did not order that. I'd rather have zero things in my pool.
I guess I misinterpreted the inflatable part of that. Anyway, also, we're just about done setting up the cornhole. That's the last thing we're doing here, and that should be all set up pretty soon.
Okay, yeah, that's... That's the least of a beach party. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the backhoe's just digging up the second hole, and then we need another dump truck full of corn.
Are you digging holes in my yard?
And filling them with corn, yeah.
No, that is not what cornhole is. Like, you don't just make up stuff. You should do a little research. Larry, do you work for the company that I've been talking to?
I thought it was a little weird to be filling these holes with corn, but you know, what are you going to do? I'm just filling up the order form here.
No, you're not. How is this possible?
Well, you know, your husband Adam thought you were going a little overboard with this party.
Well, this is not overboard. This is nothing that I ordered. And yeah, Adam, he knows what I wanted. Why is he not stopping you?
Well, he actually called me, Vivian. Brian Bell from the Lorne and Wally Show.
What?
Yeah, this is a Brian Bell buster, Vivian.
What is the radio guy?
Yeah.
Am I on the radio?
You are.
Oh my God.
Well, you're so nice to be throwing a party for the whole neighborhood, and, you know, he just wanted to...
Oh, my. I'm going to kill him.
He wanted you to remember that it's your birthday, too, so happy birthday.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And thanks for listening to the Lorne O'Wally Show on WROR, Vivian.
Okay. Thank you.
You can get him back when it's his birthday, okay?
Yeah. I'm totally getting him back.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Welcome to our special feature this morning. Has this ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Now, this is a true story. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's about, like, when somebody gives you something, whether or not it's, like, a gift or something, you know, like, a book or something. Like, I saw this and I thought of you. And then they present it to you. You take it, and you're like, why did really? You think of me? This is weird. And so this happened to me recently. So I'm at work, and a colleague from down the hall came up to me and had a book on CD, a big stack, you know, like book on tape, I guess we call
yes,
it.
Yes, right. Yeah,
very
yeah.
Kicking it old school. And he says...
An audiobook.
Yeah, an audiobook. He says, I listened to this, and I thought you'd love it. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so nice of you. He's like, so you can have this, and if you like it, keep it, and if you don't, pass it along to somebody else. I'm like, all right, okay. So I get in my car, and I'm like, this is so fun. Like, I'm going to use my CD player in my car for the first time in forever. And I put in the CD, and then this is the book. This is what it says.
I finally had to reconcile the fact that there might be no one out there left for me at all. I considered myself unwifeable, and I liked it. Well, the vague empowerment narrative of it anyway. I wasn't just a self-destructive exhibitionist
what?
Whose crippling neuroses manifested in navel-gazing narcissism
what?
And random acts of implosion.
So this reminded him of you.
So, like, I'm like, really? Whoa. So I'm listening to this and...
So it's unwifeable?
It's called Unwifeable.
Unwifeable. Okay.
And it's by a woman named Mandy Stadt-Miller, and she is a former reporter for the New York Post. So I was like, well, maybe he, you know, because I used to write for the Herald, and maybe he's like, well, this is up
you
your
did?
Alley. And so, because she wrote for a tabloid, and yeah. I wrote for a tabloid. But then it gets really something, like something else. So now when I run into this colleague of mine periodically, and he's like, so how do you like in the book? And I'm like, do you mean the part where she had a threesome with the pilots at the bar? Or do you mean the part where she decided to have wow. the affair with a married coworker? I'm like, I don't know what wow. to do with this information.
Wow, what's he trying to tell you? Wow.
So, it's really? Just one of those things.
Have you ever had anybody ever get a gift like that where you go, whoa.
This boy, is just very, really... very... Very. He warned me that it was a little salacious, but he could not warn me enough. So now I.
But that made it more intriguing because he said it's salacious, and I think of you.
No, he didn't put those two things together. HR, if you're listening. Completely separate. I made the leap, but now I have this book on tape, which is so interesting. Now I am going to have to pass it along to somebody else.
That's my guess.
So now
who's
who
it gonna go to
I
next?
Going to give this to and then have the awkward sort of moment in the hallway like, so are you on chapter 8 yet? Because that gets pretty interesting. I never even heard of that. I thought it was illegal in 50 states.
Well, your mother likes to read. Would you give it to your mom?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. Maybe I'll give it to my mom. Maybe I'll give it to my dad, Hank.
Give your mom. Say, Mom, this book reminded me of you.
Can you even
imagine?
Oh, my God. You're a reporter for a newspaper.
She used to write for a paper.
Okay.
Wow. So anyway, that happened. I don't know. I think that this happens to people quite a bit, but this one just really took the cake.
Okay, and speaking of that sort of thing, coming up next on your 720 Men from Aid, Effie decides it's time to get a little kinky with unusual results.
Hey,
she should write a book.
It all happens right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program, 105.7 WROR.
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, it's time for your 720 Men from Maine. Here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie has been reading one of her hot Harlequin novels, and now she's feeling all tingly inside. So she gives Ephus a call.
Hello?
Ephus, I've been reading one of my special books, and now I'm feeling all tingly inside. So I thought you might want to hurry home.
Well, who is this?
It's Effie.
Oh, okay. I'll be right there.
As Ephus heads home, Effie goes up to the bedroom, where she drapes a length of rope over the bedpost, then slips into her most revealing clamming shirt and strikes a sexy pose on the bed just as Ephus enters the room.
Well, hello there, you big pony.
Oh, my.
Ephus, you know what I want?
No, what do you want?
I want you to tie me up with that rope. Then you can go ahead and do anything you want.
Ephus rapidly secures Effie with a double half hitch and two granny knots, then heads for the door, and we hear...
Ephus, what are you doing?
Well, you said after I tied you up, I could do whatever I wanted. So I'm going fishing with Lamb.
Oh, my God.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Hey, yeah?
Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR.
The Lorne and Wally Show.
So they passed a new law, and they've tried in this law to determine exactly what a catcall is actually worth. Now, where did this take place?
France.
In France, okay.
Yep, so I guess when you're in France, if you catcall a woman and the police overhear you, you are going to get fined. How much is a catcall worth to you, sir?
Let me see. What do you figure?
I know what it's worth to me. but that's a whole different story.
You know, like a parking violation would be like... How much is a parking ticket now?
50 bucks.
50 bucks. Okay, so 50. I don't know. Say maybe 100 bucks.
Nope. It's a lot more than that. It's about $1,000.
What?
Really?
Can you believe that?
Wow.
But it's actually, yeah. So if you, it's 750 euros, which is about $885. And so this is, happens if you're in France, if you catcall or make sexual comments to women on the street. That's what you're going to have to pay. And the fines can be issued on the spot. It's part of a new legislation aimed at curbing inappropriate behavior. Boy, oh boy, I want to move to France. Although it's like I live in France because I haven't been catcalled in a long time.
Would you enjoy a catcall?
Really?
You know,
kind of flattering, maybe?
I'm torn about this because I didn't appreciate it when I would get them, but now I really, really miss them now that they're gone.
Really?
Would you offer
it? Is that bad?
You basically going to miss me when I'm gone.
I think I'm a feminist, and I really believe that women should be able to walk down the street without being objectified. But I also want to be objectified.
Would you offer to pay the fine?
No, I'd never offer to pay the fine. I'd be like, I would. That if somebody actually catcalled me and thought I was worth the fine, I mean, I actually would be like, we should probably date.
Oh my God!
What are you doing this weekend?
That's quite a commitment. Yeah, exactly. But you know, I'm a desperate woman. So don't talk to me about it. But yeah, I think it's great. I mean, if you're in New York City, I don't go out often. I don't walk down the street very often. But if you're in New York City, and I've walked behind women who have been catcalled, and I see what it does to them.
What are you doing, picking up leftovers or what?
Like, I'm always like, that's, you know, it's not comfortable. It's awkward. It's weird. And so they should not be doing this. And to be fined is a good thing.
See, if it was you walking down the street, they'd be, look at the hot blonde wearing the helmet.
Yeah, exactly. Right. She is so safe.
That is a great, great
so
helmet.
Safe.
Okay. Hey, And by the way, we have the everything you need to know about the royal wedding in case you missed anything. That's coming up in the Dirty Laundry.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be 7:45 this morning. Okay.
Honeymoons.
It was pretty cool. Okay, let's get right into your dirty laundry update here on a Monday morning. LBF, where do we start? Would it be royal wedding by any chance?
Well, we're all still hungover from the royal wedding, partying all day Saturday, getting up early. And yes, it happened. Here they are being proclaimed husband and wife.
In the presence of God and before this congregation, Harry and Meghan have given their consent and made their marriage vows to each other. They have declared their marriage by the joining of hands and by the giving and receiving of rings. I therefore proclaim that they are husband and wife.
Well, there you have it. Husband and wife. My husband turned to me. She's walking down the aisle. He said, oh, God, I wonder what she's thinking. I'm like, I think she's thinking, boy, this all really worked out, didn't it? I loved, all right, so the biggest, beyond anything, the biggest takeaway from that wedding for me, personally, wasn't about the royalty or about the sort of, you know, their relationship or the dress or any of those things. What I was absolutely enthralled by was the importance of Meghan Markle's resting face. She has, and I say this to everybody, the most perfect resting face ever. It's just, she doesn't have a scowl. She's smiling ever so slightly. She has perfected it. Learn this now. Watch her like the Sabruta tapes. This is important because eventually your resting face is going to look like Victoria Beckham's if you don't practice.
Hey,
her resting face is the worst. She looks like a torn scone. She does.
She doesn't,
you know,
smile. That's why she doesn't wrinkle.
I know. It's bad. The queen's resting face needs a little work, too. She really didn't smile much during that ceremony. But yes, at every moment, Meghan looked absolutely perfect. And, all right, people are upset about the dress because it was kind of boring. It was a Givenchy.
What's wrong with the dress?
People wanted a little bit more, like, bling or a little bit something. It was very, very plain. But keep in mind two things, I think. First of all, it was her second wedding, so you couldn't, like, go, like, all prince, like really crazy princessy with a bouffant.
She had, like, a tiara from, like, 1932 that was probably worth, you know, more than all of our houses combined.
Exactly. But the thing that you remember is this, and somebody once said it to me when I was younger, you want to notice the girl, not the dress. And Meghan Markle, perfected that because all you noticed was how beautiful she looked. And boy, did she look beautiful.
Did you see the terrain on that dress?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, because it was embroidered with all around the edges, it had the embroidery of the different flowers and leaves and plants, you know. And I read that the people who made it required all of the people who were working on the train to wash their hands every 30 minutes so there would be no sweat on the train, staining the train.
The old train stain. Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, that's pretty interesting. I can't even imagine working on that thing. That must have been, I mean, talk about carpal tunnel. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are not going on their honeymoon. They're straight off to royal duties. They're the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. I was trying to figure out what my name would be, like the Duke and Duchess of...
You don't have enough names already?
Canton.
Yeah. Warren Beckham Calhoun, Duchess.
Duchess. I love names. Names are my favorite. I want more of them. So they went to their reception at the Frogmore House, which sounds so Harry Potter. I wonder if there was a sorting hat. And so you over here and you over here. You read that they had pizza at the end of the night, but I read that they have burgers and candy floss. I don't know what
somebody ordered pizza in for one of the receptions.
That's nice. My favorite part, though, was when she changed out of her wedding dress and into a Stella McCartney frock and got into that silver blue Jaguar convertible.
It
was like something out. I know. I'm like, what can I tap into?
Did you see the car?
It's gorgeous.
Was it a left-hand drive car?
No.
It was right-hand drive?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I thought it was.
It was converted to electric.
Yeah, it was American drive, standard. So left-hand drive.
And they had their own special plates because they weren't driving on a real road. It was really, I just have to say, this will be in the past soon enough, and the wedding is over, and we're done with it. And I think a lot of people are a little bit wedding weary, but it was just such a nice day and a nice distraction from the world. And just to sit there, it was my favorite kind of wedding because I didn't have to change into a dress, wear Spanx, or buy a gift. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR. 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
The excitement is beginning right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program because a gentleman is standing by on the line right now. His name is Jack Harrod. Jack is a carpenter. He's from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Morning, Jack, and welcome to Winnegrant. How you doing this morning?
Doing well, yourself?
Great, thank you. So, you know what's going to happen, right, Jack? Give you a little heads up here. LBF is going to give you a bunch of questions here. Going to give you 10 questions. You'll have 60 seconds to answer those questions. During that time, you'll hear the ticker in the background. When the 60 seconds has ended, you'll hear a loud buzzer. Now, if you get all the answers and you get them all correct within 60 seconds, we give you $1,000 in cash. At any time during the competition, you can say pass, move on to the next question, and then if you have time left at the end, you can come back and pick it up. Okay? So, time pending. You get them all right, you're going to get $1,000. You got that?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
I am.
3, 2, 1, go.
On which day of the week is Thanksgiving celebrated?
Thursday.
How old were Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and Jim Morrison when they died?
Pass.
What is 10 times 10?
100.
Which character is the first to speak in Star Wars?
Pass.
Which company is the largest chocolate manufacturer in the United States?
Hershey's.
Name one of the original five VJs on MTV.
Pass.
In which state is the Grand Canyon?
Colorado.
Name the luxury liner that sunk after hitting an iceberg in 1912.
HMS Titanic.
Who is the speaker of the famous speech, I Have a Dream?
Martin Luther King.
In 1977, Xavier Roberts invented this doll.
Raggedy Ann and Andy.
How old were Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and Jim Morrison when they died?
27.
Which character is the first to speak in Star Wars?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Name one of the original five VJs on MTV.
Pass.
Oh,
you did pretty well.
Wow.
Okay, it was
six right.
It was tough. Six right. You missed two. You missed three, and you passed on one.
Okay, so which character is the first to speak in Star Wars? C-3PO, one of the original five VJs on MTV. You could have said Martha Quinn, Nina Blackwood, Mark Goodman, J.G. Jackson, or Alan Hunter. The Grand Canyon is in Arizona, not Colorado.
It's the Colorado River that throws people right off.
And in 1977, Xavier Roberts invented the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Oh.
Right?
Cabbage Patch.
Did you have one? Come on, you can tell us. We'll
That's
tell,
okay.
We won't
tell us all.
No, you had Raggedy Ann and Andy.
Yeah.
You did really well, though.
Yep,
I think we have, like...
No problem. We got a consolation prize for you. A pair of tickets to see Dead and Company. Get
oh,
a load of that.
Wow.
Yep, May 30th, Xfinity Center. Tickets are on sale now. Visit LiveNation.com. And anybody else? Hey, by the way, thank you very much for playing. Jack, have a great day. Thanks for being a member of the Nation. We appreciate it, okay?
Thanks, guys.
You
Thanks,
bet.
Thanks, Jack.
Okay, next chance to play is coming up tomorrow, and it could be you. If you have not registered, you got to register, and we could select you randomly, and you could be playing the game. Simply log on to WRR.com, and you could play Win a Grand in 60 seconds next, right here at WRR. It's Mode Mode. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Lorne Whitey Morning Radio Program, it is time for the three things you need to know today. Okay, so where do you want to start with the three things? You got the...
Well, I really want to start with Taylor Swift and Earth, Wind, and Fire because controversy has reared its ugly head. All right, you know the song Earth, Wind, and Fire, September? Here, let's play a little clip so you remember it.
Yeah. Great
good song.
Great song.
Well,
oh, yeah.
It's such a good song.
Do you remember?
Taylor Swift decided that she wanted to cover it. And I was like, all right, Taylor Swift's really talented. That'd be fun. She knows how to do some fun stuff. Well, really didn't turn out so great because during a performance in Detroit, Ailey Willis, who is the original member of the Earth, Wind, and Fire, told the audience that Swift's cover was as lethargic as a drunk turtle dozing under a sunflower after ingesting a bottle of Valium.
Could we hear a little bit of that?
Let's decide for ourselves, shall we?
You be the judge. Boy, that's horrible.
It's so Taylor Swift. Like, you know what? Give it to her that she has branded herself to be a drunk turtle of wow. a value.
Wow. that sounds like Stevie Nicks meets Deliverance.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the worst thing with a banjo since Deliverance.
Yeah, it's really, really.
So anyway, I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, I love Taylor Swift. She's great, but that is not a great cover. It's not like you're like, oh, wow, what a different interpretation. It's like, oh, my God,
it's like
no.
a violation of dance music is what it is.
You're basically right about that.
She needs to be served with some sort of citation.
Okay, now here's another thing you need to know today. If you're 93 years old and you get your first hole-in-one playing golf ever, what do? This guy, he did it right. His name is Benjamin Bender. He lives in Ohio, and he's been playing golf for like 65 years. He's 93 years old, and last Wednesday, he's out, and he got his first ever hole-in-one.
Wow.
He'd been playing golf since he was like in his like 28 years old. Never had a hole-in-one before. It's a 153-yard par 3 over a pond. And he had to use his 5-wood to get it there, but he got it there, and he actually got to see hit the green and roll into the cup.
Oh, wow.
So what did he do? He immediately got his club, got the ball out of the cup, got back in his cart, drove back to the clubhouse, walked in to see the pro, and said, "Here, sell my clubs. I quit."
He said, "Good night, everybody.
This is never going to happen again.
Mic drop.
It's never going to happen. This is the best it's going to get. I'm out of here." And he sold his clubs, and he quit, and he says he's never going to play golf again.
Well, that's good. His wife must be happy.
She died years ago. He was bored to death. 105.7 WRR. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is time. Yes, it's time for our weekly visits with Mr. Billy, the legend himself. Pitching legend for the mighty Boston Red Sox. And it's brought to you by Intrasystems. Well, good morning, Bill. How you doing? And welcome to the Lorna Wally Morning Radio Program. How you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning from Ipswich, Massachusetts.
Nice.
The home of John Updike and the Witches of Eastwick.
Really?
I see.
John Updike.
Okay, now, Bill, we would like to start you with a Bill Lee fills in the blank question this morning. Okay, so tell me what you think about this. Your job is just to simply fill in the blank. And here's the statement. Mookie Betts is the best baseball player to play for the Red Sox since blank.
Since Willie Mays.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
We almost had Willie Mays. We almost had Willie Mays, and I go back to Birmingham when he had the tryout, and we didn't take him, and they told him to get that blankety blank off the field, and I believe Willie Mays played for the Boston Red Sox, and it's in that book I wrote called The Little Red Sox Book, where I kind of praised Tom Yawkey for being bitten by a snake and saved by his caretaker down there on the plantation in South Carolina outside of Georgetown. And the premise of the book was that because he was hallucinating and the guy saved his life, he basically transported, this whole new thing. And that's why basically when they asked me on the street, what should we name Yawkey Way? I said, take it back to Jersey Street. I said, we already own the door. So, and that's what it is. It's Jersey Street right now. So that's
hey, Bill.
That's a long answer for a short question.
But that's extremely heady company. I mean, you think he's that good, huh?
He made that diving catch. He made. I think it was in Toronto, foul territory, where it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen an outfielder do, and it'll always stick in my memory as one of the great catches of all time. And and I always loved Willie Mays growing up. So, and I got to pitch to Mays, so that was good. And I'd like to pitch to Betts because I think my ball's so slow he'll never hit me.
Bill, you are going to be pitching because I know you're going to be in the Red Sox Legends game at Fenway Park coming up next Sunday, right?
I am, and it's a miracle because I was. We got a 32-degree night, and I had to bring the begonias in. They're $32 a piece, and so I was. And I fell through my deck.
Oh, you did? And,
my left boot went through the deck, and I had the begonia in my hand, and I pinched my right knee, my bad knee, and I in the begonia. I just fumbled the begonia on the last
revolution. And I'm laying on the deck, and my wife wonders if I'm dead, and my left leg's bleeding. And I go, don't worry about that. That's just blood. It's my right knee that hurts. And I thought I wasn't going to be able to play this week. Oh. And then last Sunday morning, I took my Celebrex in the morning. I could just feel my knee getting better and better and better. And I went out and I pitched two scoreless innings yesterday. So I'll be able to play on Sunday.
This is amazing.
I get killed at Granite Links today.
Excellent.
At least you didn't hurt your begonias.
That's right. You hate to hurt your begonias, man. Especially
don't buy begonias too soon. That's the key up in the Northeast Kingdom, because you got to take them out, you got to put them in. Every time you walk on your deck with logging boots, there's another chance you're going to fall through your deck.
Hey, Bill, when's the last time that you were in a Red Sox uniform on the field at Fenway Park?
Probably when we won the World Championship. They gave me one of them Shriners uniforms from 1975 with the little turtleneck and stuff, and all these fat white guys ran out on the field together. That was us.
the last time. Okay. Well, listen, we're looking forward to seeing you coming up on Sunday at Fenway Park. In the meantime, Willie Mays was the answer, and you filled in the blank this morning. So have a great day and a great week. Knock him dead on the golf course today. You're playing for charity today, right?
Yeah, we're playing the Disabled Veterans, which means all of us.
Gotcha.
We're all veterans,
okay,
and we're all disabled.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.